Great. Well, please keep that passage open, the Mark passage. And why don't I pray for us as we start. Dear Lord, please would you be with us and would your word speak powerfully and truthfully to us today. Amen. Okay, so today is the last of our summer series on Did Jesus Say? If you've been coming over the summer, you'll know that generally speaking, there's a real focus on one of the verses in the main passage. And today, our verse is Mark chapter 10, verse 25. So let's just remind ourselves what it says. So it says, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. I'll say that again. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. Wow. Quite a stark thing to say. I want to do an experiment to see how difficult this is. So I have a needle. Well, I should have a needle if I haven't lost it. Oh, I have a needle. I have a needle. My wife thought I'd lose it, and she's wrong. Here is a needle. So as you go, you may or may not be able to see this needle. It's small. That's the point. And it has a little eye that you can put your string through. Now, I'm afraid I don't have a camel. The zoos were somewhat reluctant to release a camel, and I didn't ask, but I think the PCC subcommittee would probably have been reticent at allowing a camel into the building. So anyway, I don't have a camel, but I have the next best thing. Alid, can you please stand up for me? Yep. Now, thank you. You may or may not have realised that Alid is not actually a camel. So now, what I'm about to read to you is I'm not going to quote as if I know this. I've got this from the internet, which I think is true, but if it's false, I'm sorry. So apparently, a Bactrian camel, most camels tower above humans. A Bactrian camel, according to the San Diego Zoo, grows to a shoulder height of 6 feet, similar, and a body length of 10 feet. Not quite. They normally weigh 1,320 to 2,200 pounds. That's 600 to 1,000 kilograms when they are fully grown. Now, dromedary camels get up to about 6.5 feet tall at the shoulder and weigh 880 to 1,325 pounds. I think we all agreed Alan is somewhat smaller than the camel. So hopefully this should be easier for you. So here is an eye of a needle and you are a small camel. So this should be straightforward, right? Can you try and get through it, please?
Okay. Some logic. That's not going well. Do you know what? I don't think I'm going to be able to do this.
You don't think you're going to be able to do this?
No.
Yeah, I don't think you can either. No. Well, anyway, thank you, Alan. Thank you for being a very good camel. And that was you're very, very helpful. Yeah. Yeah, thank you. Yeah. He was new. So I thought he's not going to say no to me. Thank you. But anyway, so the point is that Alid, who is smaller than a camel, failed in his task to go through the eye of this needle. And let's not blame him. I mean, we could have got a newborn baby and they would not have been able to go through the eye of the needle. It was never going to happen. So when Jesus says in verse 25 that it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God, he's saying it's impossible for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. In fact, it's actually more extreme than that. So Jesus says the camel going through the eye of a needle is easier than the rich man entering the kingdom of God. So basically, what Jesus is saying is it's harder than impossible for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. It's harder than impossible. That's what Jesus is saying. Now, straight away, what we might be wondering is, whoa. Am I included in this? Am I a rich man? Well, we're obviously not all men, but I don't really think the gender's important here. Humanly speaking, I guess a lot of us probably are rich in the grand scheme of things. We might not be rich compared to our peers, maybe compared to people else who else live in Poynton, but most of us, I imagine, live under solid roofs. We probably eat three meals a day. We can afford clothes to wear. And maybe compared to the world as a whole, you know, most of us are rich. And so it sounds like Jesus is saying that it's harder than impossible for us to enter the kingdom of God. We cannot enter it. We are stuck. We are separated from it. Well, that's uncomfortable news. And if you're finding it uncomfortable, you're not alone. So if you look at the passage, verse 26, the disciples go, they were greatly astounded and said to one another, then who can be saved? So Jesus' disciples were just, you know, they were uncomfortable with it. And then let's look how Jesus responds, verse 27. Jesus looked at them and said, "For mortals it is impossible, but not for God. For God, all things are possible." Well, we're now going to use the rest of the passage to help us really get to grips with what verse 25 is saying. So we're going to really think, we're really going to unpack, you know, what is he saying in verse 25? And to start with, we're just going to do a little experiment. So this is a little mental exercise, so get ready. So I want you all to imagine you're a bus driver. So this may be easy or difficult. I want you all to imagine you're a bus driver. And at the start of your bus journey, you have 12 passengers. So you need to keep track. 12 passengers. Stop number one, you have 5 people get on and 2 get off. Stop number 2, 4 get on and just 1 gets off. Stop number 3, 9 people get on but 6 get off. Stop number 4, come on, you have 3 get on and 7 get off. And at the last stop, 8 people get on and nobody gets off. My question for you is this: what's the bus driver's name? Now, if you've heard this before, you might know the answer to this. Does anybody think they know the answer to this? What is the bus driver's name? A few, okay. So I'm guessing you've heard from... Go on, Andy, what is the bus driver's name? For Andy, the bus driver's name is Andy, because the very first thing I said to you is, I want to imagine you are a bus driver. So the answer is your name, because the bus driver is you. Now, basically, the point is, the key information to that puzzle, you all thought when I asked you that question that I'm asking you an impossible question, and I'm not. But the information you were given was there at the start, but you probably ignored it because you didn't think it was important. And I actually think in this passage, there's something almost identical going on. I think the key to this passage is hidden away right near the start. And I think the key is we're hidden away at the start, and I think we miss it because we get lost in kind of the drama, what's going on, that we miss the point, which I think the man does as well. So I'm going to read verses 17 and 18 again. As he was setting out on a journey, this is Jesus, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone." Now, we all had that passage read to us, but how many of us really, really paid attention to verse 18? Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. So, Jesus is trying to get the man to realize right at the start that he isn't good. The man comes to him, and Jesus' first statement is basically, "You're not a good person. Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone." Well, the man's not God, therefore he's not good. So he's trying to get the man to see that he cannot enter the kingdom of God by his own merits. There is only one who is good, and that is God himself. And of course, Jesus is God. And Jesus is not saying he's not God by the way he asked the question. I think he's basically finding out the motives for the man's questions when he says, "Why do you call me good?" He's not implying I'm not good, but he's just, why are you calling me good? But anyway, so Jesus is God, so he's good, but he is the only one who is good. The man doesn't listen to verse 18 because he's more interested in bigging up his moral credentials. He's materially rich, but he's also spiritually rich. He believes in his own moral goodness. So he's relying on himself financially, but he's also relying on himself morally. He thinks he's good enough for God. But Jesus finds something he lacks in verse 21. Please don't think I'm questioning this man's sincerity, by the way. I think the guy says in verse 20, you know, I teach, I've kept all these since my youth, all these laws. I wouldn't question his zeal and his genuineness. Jesus, don't think, ever questions that. And I think we'd be wrong to. I think the issue is the man, as well as being materially rich, he's spiritually rich. He believes in his own goodness. He believes that he's good enough for God. And Jesus shows him, he points something out and just shows him that he isn't and that he can't be. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. And what fundamentally this means is that it's impossible for someone who is spiritually rich to enter the kingdom of God. A person cannot enter the kingdom of God trusting in their own goodness. We don't keep God's laws perfectly, so we're not good enough for God's standards. There is something we lack. Let's look at the list of things in verse 19. So Jesus said to the man, you know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother. Now, maybe we read this and think, go through the list thinking, well, I've never broken any of these laws. I'm actually kept all of these laws. All I would say is, straight away, is I think maybe we need to clarify these laws. So it'd be great if you've got your Bibles, if you could just turn back with me to Matthew chapter 5, where Jesus actually clarifies the meaning of some of the laws. So Matthew 5, verse 21, if you're able to turn back with me, that would be really helpful. So Matthew 5, verse 21, it says, you have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, you shall not murder, and whoever murders shall be liable to judgment. But I say to you that if you're angry with a brother or sister, you'll be liable to judgment. If you insult a brother or sister, you'll be liable to the council. And if you say you fool, you'll be liable to the hell of fire. Well, how would we do in that if that was what the law is? Have we ever been angry with somebody? I would imagine probably yes. Verse 27 of Matthew chapter 5. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Again, I wonder how many of us could really say we perfectly kept that law. I don't think we do keep the law perfectly. And I don't think we can keep the law perfectly. We cannot keep God's law perfectly. Verse 18, that chapter back in Mark says, no one is good but God alone. And that's true. So, sorry. I've just lost my place a second. So we cannot keep God's law perfectly. So let's not be spiritually rich like this man. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. It's harder than impossible to enter God's kingdom trusting in our own goodness. So if we can't get there on merit, well, how can we get there? And I think this is where verse 27 comes in. So let's just remind ourselves of what it says. Jesus looked at them and said, for mortals, it is impossible, but not for God. For God, all things are possible. It's harder than impossible to enter God's kingdom trusting in our own goodness. But God can make it possible for people who aren't spiritually rich, who recognize the sin in their own heart, who acknowledge that they are not good enough to enter God's kingdom. God makes it possible. Now, it's interesting. So when I was reading those verses from Matthew 5, it really, really stark warning saying, well, you think you can't keep the law, but actually, no. But just before those verses, you have the Beatitudes. The Beatitudes. And in Matthew 5, verse 3, Jesus actually says this. He says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The rich in spirit aren't blessed, but those who acknowledge their need for a saviour are. And also, just on the same thing, it would be great if we could turn back to just back in Mark to chapter 2 and verse 16. If we look at Mark chapter 2, verse 16. When the scribes of the Pharisees saw that he was eating with sinners and tax collectors, they said to his disciples, why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners? And when Jesus heard this, he said to them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have come to call not the righteous, but sinners. So Jesus is saying that he has come for those who are sick. That is people who are spiritually sick, who realize their need for Jesus. He's not come for the, and I'm going to be using inverted commas here, righteous, because I don't think Jesus is saying that the Pharisees are righteous. I think he's saying that they're, just like this man, they're spiritually rich. They don't see their need for Jesus, so he's not come for people who don't see their need for him. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. It's harder than impossible to enter God's kingdom trusting in our own goodness. But if we admit our sinfulness, we believe that Jesus came to die on a cross for our sins, and we come to him as our Lord and Savior, God makes the impossible possible. God makes the impossible possible. if we recognise our sin and we put our trust in Jesus. To finish with, let me pose you a question. The Bible says one day all of us will have to give an account of ourselves for our lives. So imagine we stood there and Jesus asks us, why should I let you into heaven? What would you say? Or you could say, I go to church every week. I give to charity. I'm kind. I'm nice. Well, if that's our answer, we can probably expect Jesus to sadly say to us, well, there's one thing you lack, whatever that may be. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is spiritually rich to enter the kingdom of God. It's harder than impossible to enter God's kingdom, trusting in our own goodness. So I hope if we're posed with that question, our answer will be more along the lines that we know that we are sinners, that we've fallen short of God's glory, but we also know that God loves us and sent a rescuer to make the impossible possible so we can be forgiven and know eternal life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that even though we are sinners, whilst we were still sinners, you sent your Son, the righteous, for the unrighteous, to bring us to God. We thank you for your love for us. Please forgive us when we do seek to earn your love, to earn your forgiveness, trusting on our own righteousness. But please would we be those who trust in your amazing love and your amazing grace and in your Son. We ask these in Jesus' name. Amen.